Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This is a podcast from our summer leadership training school. Hope you enjoy.
We're just going to stay in this place for just a moment because I feel like the Lord wants us to respond. You know, about 9 months ago, my wife's dad, the leader of Circuit Riders, passed away pretty tragically. And I love my father-in-law. I mean, there wasn't a man like him on the planet. And one of the really cool things he would do with my wife was he would write her these poems and these stories. And in the stories, he'd call my wife, Chloe, Blue. That was her name in the stories. And in the stories, he would be Mordecai. Now, if you've never heard of the book of Esther, if you've never read it, I encourage you to read it. And in the story of Esther, there's a man, Esther's uncle, and his name is Mordecai. And the whole time, Mordecai is crying out to Esther that she would take up her calling. And Brian's last message to us as the Circuit Riders, we didn't know it at the time, was going to be a message called Accept Your Calling. And I feel it echoing in my heart tonight that you would leave this place and you would live for 60 or 70 years on fire. You see, my goal, our goal for these last 2 or 3 days was not that you guys would leave here and say, man, the Circuit Riders are cool, or that was a good experience, or I'm really grateful I had it, and then be excited for about 4 weeks. That's not our goal. Our goal is that Jesus would have, at some point this whole time, would have drilled a hole into your heart that could only be filled by you pursuing and chasing him the rest of your days, and that it would ache if you ever depart from that place. Now I want to read to you a couple things from the book of Esther. And I want you to hear a dying man's last words to a generation. Accept your call. Mordecai, if you remember, finds about this plan from Haman. Now you guys can stay standing. You can sit where you want. We're just going to stay. I want the band to stay up here just for a moment, because I know we're supposed to respond in singing. We're only going to go for about 10 minutes here. If you remember, Mordecai finds about this plan from a man named Haman, who was going to try and plot to kill all of the Jews, and he had succeeded. And when Mordecai finds out about this, he assumes he didn't have a prophetic word. Listen to me, friends. If you didn't get a prophetic word here, or you never get a prophetic word the rest of your days, you still know your calling, because your calling is to follow Jesus Christ. You're not following prophetic words. You're not following visions from great men. You're following one vision. That vision isn't just an idea. It's a man, Jesus. Now Mordecai goes to Esther and says this. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces, or the Esther says this to Mordecai after Mordecai says, you need to go to the king and you need to tell him what this plot is, and you need to stop it, Esther. Esther responds this way: all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death. Except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he or she may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king for at least 30 days. Esther is making an excuse, a valid excuse. The excuse is this, that if I go into the king, I might die. How many of you think that's a good excuse to do something or not do something? I think that would be a good excuse. Mordecai, no matter how good the excuse is, Mordecai and God does not allow us to make excuses. Here's how Mordecai responds. They told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther as such: do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. Listen to me tonight, friends. many Christians escape the calling and reality of Jesus Christ by going to church once a week, by making some good money, by being safe and being comfortable. This is not for you guys. You guys are choosing a hard path, a fun path, an enjoyable path, a path with many risks, a path with much sacrifice, a path with much joy, a path with much adversity on it, a path that is up and down and all over the place. This is what you guys have chosen. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. You can say no, but trust me, someone will say yes in the wake of your no. Someone will say yes eventually. Some of you know Reinhard Bonnke. This is his story. God told him apparently that he was the third man God had asked to take up the calling to preach the gospel in Africa. The third man. He wasn't even the first choice apparently. Who knows? Maybe you're the 10th choice and you're just discovering it this week that God had asked others and they've said no, but you this week said yes. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You were born at a time that you did not choose. Did any of you have a conversation with God about your birth and when it would be? You were all born at a time. You didn't choose when you were to be born. You also didn't choose the societal problems. You also did not choose 3.1 billion people never hearing the gospel. You also did not choose the millions around Europe that do not want to hear the gospel. You chose none of this, but you were born nonetheless. Mordecai is asking Esther to take responsibility for something she did not cause. God is asking us to take responsibility for something and things around the globe that we have not caused. We may participate in, but we have not caused a lot of things on the earth today, but will you take responsibility? Men in this room, you have been told a lie that you are to be weak and you are to be passive and you are to sit on the sidelines and let others fight. False. You are a man in this room, you are to lead and you are to lead strongly. You are to lead your family. You are to lead ministries. You are to lead in preaching the gospel. You are to lead many, many things. Women in this room, you have something about you that I can never have. That is, this is going to sound weird, but if you're in Brave Love, you got this message, you have a womb. And God has given you that to bear life. I cannot bear life the way you bear life. Every single woman in this room has the ability to bring life and turn and flip and change situations. This is how God has designed you, both men and women, to be people who take action and take responsibility for problems not their own. 2 Samuel 10:12 says this. It's about a man named Abijah and his brother Joab. And Joab, there's a battle going on, and Joab says to Abishai, "Let us play the man for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do what seems right in his eyes. Let us play the man or the woman." You know what that means? Be a hero. Now, the missing note, the lost chord of present-day Christianity is heroism. You taking up your cross and your sword and you fighting to win a prize. That's what the Bible says. All of you in this room are made for heroism, to do something crazy. It's built in your bones. Why do you think people jump off cliffs? Why do you think people go and jump out of planes? And why do you think we've invented ropes that you can jump with at your feet and bungee jump? Why do you think people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to travel around the world for adventure? It's because it's built into us. And as Christians, you have the greatest adventure. It's called being a Christian hero. This does not mean, do not hear what I'm saying and not what I'm not saying. This does not mean your name will ever be known. There are people on the planet today who are far more radical than us, and we do not know their names. They are in the mountains of the Himalayas right now. They're in the jungles of Southeast Asia and Indonesia and some of these other places. There's Christians in the underground church that we will never know their names, but oh, by golly, for sure the Lord will shout their names in heaven when we stand before Him. You're called to be a hero. And I want to tell you tonight that the sustainer of everything we've talked about can be found in one three-letter word, joy. Jesus says, out of joy, a man would go as he finds a treasure in a field. He will sell all that he has, buy the field, and get the treasure. The only way to go for 60 or 70 years is to find great joy in the treasure that is Jesus Christ. Motivation will not get you 70 years. Discipline will not get you 70 years. As amazing as those things are, and I'm an advocate for those things, but they will not get you 70 years. Joy, enjoyment of the cross, of the man who hung on the cross, will get you 70 years. Joy is your solution. I want to read you this in Nehemiah. Remember, just after Esther, there's a couple men, one being Nehemiah, who's gone back to Jerusalem. The king's allowed him to. He needs to build the temple. And as they build, they realize that the glory of the second temple is not even remotely close to the gold and the diamonds and the jewels and everything that was from the first temple that Solomon built. And as they start to build, they discover the book of the law and they become overwhelmed in grief and sadness over their situation and their current debacle that they're in. And God says to the people this. Then he said to them, go on your way, eat fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Gritting your teeth is not your strength. Great resolve is not your strength. Discipline is not your strength. Enjoyment of Jesus Christ is your strength. I love steak. I love it a lot. And I will reject other things in my life so that I can buy a nice steak every once in a while. There are things I'm willing to do for steak because I enjoy it, because I love it. And if you try to take steak away from me, you will get a left hook and a right hand to your face. I love it. I enjoy it, therefore I'm going to do great things in order to have it. Same for my wife. I enjoy my wife. When I see my wife, sometimes I just smile because she does things that she didn't even know she does, and I just like it. She's cool. I enjoy my wife. I want to be around my wife. Imagine if you came up to me and said, hey, Derek, what are some routine things you do in order to really bless your wife? And I said, well, I have to discipline myself to hang out with her. And every morning I get up and I just motivate myself to be with her. You're like, that's a little strange. But if I say to you, I enjoy my wife, I don't have any routine. It's just I enjoy her and I'm going to do crazy stuff for her and be around her and love her. When you enjoy something, when you find joy in something, you are much more motivated and disciplined towards that thing. Joy is your strength. And I felt tonight, I want to share testimonies, I want to do some practical things, but I really felt as they were singing, you guys were fire tonight. The songs you chose were just perfect. And I want to sing this again. I want us all to stand, and I want us to respond in this manner. I remember the first time I ever got to do this. When I was, when would I have been? When was the Send Orlando? I would have been around 24 or something like this. Azusa Now would have been the first time, yes. Oh yeah, I would have been 22 just after I got married. And I remember the first time we ever did this in a mass way, we took our shoes off in a stadium of about 50, 60,000 people, and we took our shoes off with the declaration that our feet are Jesus Christ's feet, and he gets to choose and do whatever he wants with them. And I remember this feeling of looking out across this stadium. I remember looking in Orlando with 50, 60,000 young people in a stadium lifting their shoes, smelling terribly. And I looked and I said, why does our generation believe that there isn't hope for the nations? You know, 50, 60,000 people in a stadium is awesome. Same for Azusa now with 60,000 people. But man, what kind of dent on Germany and Eastern Europe and Central Europe could be made just by the people in this room? With joy in your heart, a smile on your face, and deep love for Jesus Christ and the mission he's given you, you can do a lot. You don't need to be super skilled. Some of you found out today, hey man, I need more practice with preaching the gospel. For some reason, I didn't know what to do with my hands. They're just flapping, and I talked about baptism, and it was strange, and I didn't even know what I was doing. Ben was a good teacher, but man, I just wasn't a good listener, I guess. Some of you experienced, man, I can talk to people about Jesus. How many of you saw someone respond to the gospel? Can you raise your hand? Oh, dang. Whoa. That's nuts. Let me think about that for a second. A lot of you guys, how many of you, that was your first experience seeing someone respond to the gospel? Raise your hand. A few of us in this place. So you experienced something today that can happen every day, potentially. And so, can you guys stand up with me just for a moment? I want to sing All Is For Your Glory again. And if you want to, as a declaration that there's deep joy in your heart and enjoyment over Jesus Christ and him being able to say things to you like, go to this place, do this, in this nation, and do this, and this hard thing, and this great thing. And if you want to declare that out to Jesus tonight, would you just take off your shoes and all their nice smells? Just lift them above your head for a moment. I want to pray. I want us to pray something out. Lord, out of joy, would sell everything to get treasure. You're our treasure, Jesus.
Yes.
You're our treasure. You're the one that when we stand before you, when evangelism ceases, when there's no longer a missionary to be found, when it's just us and you face to face, we will get our treasure just as we have longed for all our days. Lord, 60 years from now, find us still with our shoes in the air. 70 years from now, find us shoes still in the air. In Jesus' name, would you guys repeat after me? Jesus, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Put me where you want me. I am yours. You are mine. You're my treasure. Send me, Jesus. Send me, Jesus. Most wild response we could possibly give him. On your knees, dance around, jump around, and let's make this firm resolve and commitment out of joy. Tell us anything, Jesus. Tell us anything at any moment in our lives. Send us. Commission us. Send us.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.